Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
A couple changes raised our crush forecast, 20 million bushels. That is reflecting strong domestic soybean meal consumption as well as strong U.S. meal exports.
That's the chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board, Dr. Mark Jekinowski, on the June WASD report.
On the other hand, our export forecast, we lowered by the same amount, 20 million bushels, and that largely just reflects a revision in data revision, census trade revision for the first 4 months of the marketing year, so September through December.
And again, breaking down the report, leaving corn and beans mostly steady, but tightening the wheat outlook and splitting the livestock picture between beef and pork. Report gives producers a mostly stable row crop balance sheet with sharper signals in the wheat and meat markets. Now, U.S. wheat production cut by 18 million bushels, 1.543 billion, mostly due to smaller hard red winter wheat output. Ending stocks falling 744 million bushels while the price drops to $6. Now, corn virtually unchanged, farm price holding 440, soybean supply use and price projections unchanged, season average prices steady at 1140. Cotton ending stocks reduced due to a 200,000 bale cut from the prior year. New crop production use and trade unchanged, projected farm price steady, 73 cents. And beef production lowered as steer, heifer, and cow slaughter slow, though heavier weights offset part of the decline. Pork production slightly higher on heavier dressed weights. Again, USDA lowering beef exports in the second quarter, but raising pork exports on stronger recent shipments. Farm credit system remains financially sound, but credit risk is rising as tougher farm and economic conditions pressure some producers. Farm Credit Administration Board received the update at its June 11th meeting. The system reported stable earnings, stronger capital for the quarter ending March 31st, total capital reaching $86.4 billion, up 7.3% from a year earlier. Now, loan quality remains solid overall, but stress indicators increased. Non-performing assets increasing to 1.09% of loans outstanding and other property owned, compared with less than 1% a year earlier. Broader farm economy, though, remains mixed. FCA says the Middle East conflict driving energy volatility and inflation pressure, while consumer spending weakens and loan delinquencies rise. Net farm income expected to decline this year, though federal support will keep it above average. USDA updating the Natural Resources Conservation Service's priorities to keep conservation more directly tied to working farms, ranches, and private land. The agency says the changes reaffirm voluntary, locally led conservation for producers. And President Trump reopening commercial fishing access in parts of three Pacific Marine National Monuments. It's creating new opportunities for U.S. fishermen and seafood supply chains. The White House says the proclamation covers nearly 500,000 square miles. It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
All right, looking at production over the last 10 years, you can see how this year's forecast production of 1.03 billion bushels compares to the previous nine seasons. If realized, this year's production would be the lowest in the U.S. since 1965.
Anthony Prilliman is acting chief of the crops branch with the National Ag Statistics Service.
Now, for winter wheat, we conducted our June ag yield survey, which is an operator-reported survey. The sample size was nearly 2,300 this month, with data collection occurring between May 29th and June 7th. Now, for this survey, we asked producers to report their expected yield for winter wheat as of June 1st. Now, we also conducted our winter wheat objective yield survey. Now, for this survey, instead of surveying farmers, we survey winter wheat fields. We send trained enumerators into the fields to make plant and head counts, and they go back to these same fields each month throughout the growing season to continue making counts. And as the crop matures, the heads are clipped and sent to the NAS Objective Yield Lab for analysis. Now, data collection for this survey occurred between May 25th and June 1st, and then the sample size for June was 975 across the 10-state region. But as a reminder, we use a phased approach and enumerate more samples as the crop develops across the winter wheat growing region. This month, we conducted the sample in our full conducted a full sample in seven of the program states and half the samples in Colorado, Montana, and Washington. Next month, we'll enumerate all samples in all 10 states, which will bring the overall sample size to 1,155.
On Thursday, USDA out with their crop production report along with the June WASD.
Now, as you can see, conditions declined over the winter months and have continued to drop throughout the spring. As of May 31st, which represents the closest rating condition to the June 1st survey reference date, 26% of the acreage was rated in good to excellent condition, compared with 52% rated in these two categories at the same time last year. And then in our most recent crop progress report that we issued this past Monday, conditions continued to decline with 25% rated in good to excellent condition.
Also talks about crop progress.
Now, 87% of the acreage was rated on May 31st. I was headed on May 31st, compared to 82% at the same time last year and the five-year average pace of 79%. Now, I will also note that as of May 31st, 5% of the U.S. Acreage had been harvested, with 23% of the acreage harvested in both Oklahoma and Texas.
USDA also revising their final planted numbers.
U.S. Planted winter wheat acres are estimated at 32.4 million. That is unchanged from the previous estimate, but down 2.2% from last year. Harvested acres in the U.S. are forecasted just over 22 million, also unchanged from our previous forecast, but down 13.7%, or nearly 3.5 million acres from last year. And as we stated last month, if realized, this will be a record low harvested area for the U.S. And as of June 1st, yield is forecast at 46.8 bushels per acre. That is down 1.7% or 0.8 of a bushel from the May forecast, and down 14.8% or 8.1 bushels from 2025. Production is forecast at 1.03 billion bushels. That is down 1.7% from last month's forecast and down 26.5% from the previous season.
And no surprises for the trade. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
I will confirm that this president, on the trip to Wisconsin, while we were in Wisconsin, on the trip back, his commitment and love for rural America and our farmers is real.
Brooke Rollins testifying recently before the Senate Ag Committee.
And as he said, I'm not getting ahead of him. I'm always a little bit concerned about getting ahead of him. But he said at the event on Friday that he wanted to do more. And so I think we can work arm in arm and hand in hand across hopefully both sides of the aisle and get to another point where that is possible and feasible for our farmers.
No, and I certainly don't want to speak for him either. When we were able to, sign and, able to come up with the dollars previously, we mentioned then, that this was great and that everybody was very grateful for his support, not only in this administration, but in the past one for our farmers, but that we might have to come back. And he agreed with that. So, I'm very pleased that the administration is being aggressive in negotiating new trade agreements and putting high priority on opening markets for ag products in these negotiations. I commend the administration for completing 19 agreements since the time President Trump took office. I also firmly believe that in addition to strengthening our export markets, we must build demand here at home. As I mentioned in my opening statement, I support legislation aimed at increasing domestic demand for ag products like the Buying American Cotton Act, the Fisher Capital Klobuchar year-round E15 bill. What other actions is the administration taking to increase domestic demand for our American ag products, or the areas in which the Senate and administration can work together on?
Well, I think that the trade piece is important, and I realize Senator Klobuchar, probably Senator Booker, and some of our other friends on the other side of the aisle have some serious questions about that, and I really look forward to having that discussion with them. What I will note is when the president had the Liberation Day, which is when he announced that instead of going country by country, we're going to have an all-of-world approach on renegotiating our trade, that to date, the fact that our great producers in America, when we send their goods out, on average, it's about a 15% tariff into other countries. When those goods from other countries come into America, it's an average of 5%. So our farmers and producers have been, just compromised year after year under these trade and tariff regimes. And so in just over a year, 19 new trade deals is remarkable. It is historical. It is unprecedented. And it is already paying dividends. As I mentioned, we've cut the agricultural trade deficit in half in 1 year. We expect it to come down another 30% this year. Corn exports are going to be record-breaking based on the numbers that just came out yesterday. We expect a 35% increase in volume in corn exports. Dairy exports are going to be up almost 10%. Sorghum is going to be up almost 100%. Tree nuts up 11%. Ethanol up at least 11%, probably more. Wheat exports are up 8%. Soybean oil up 129%. To your point, Mr. Chairman, this opportunity, this is what farmers want. They don't want to farm for a check from the government. They want to farm to be able to sell their market, their goods on an open market that's fair. So that's the international play. And then to your point about the local domestic markets, opening that up as well, whether it's E15 or 45Z, all of the work that this administration has done, again, unprecedented, the moves that we've made for our biofuels community, etc.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
For an agency that's over 90 years old that's had adjustments from time to time, it's always good to kind of dust off the strategic priorities and the motto and how we hold ourselves in alignment to the American producers.
Rolling out a new motto, mission statement, and vision statement for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, Chief Colton Buckley.
I'm very excited that we are announcing that our new motto is keeping working lands in working hands. My top priority as chief, all the way down to our local county office level, should be about tools, training, technology that we can support the American farmer, rancher, private landowner in prioritizing their ability to stay on the American landscape and keep those working lands working in family hands forever. So we're really excited about the motto, keeping working lands in working hands, and then readjusting our mission statement where we're laser focused in providing and delivering practical, voluntary, and locally led conservation solutions that help producers conserve natural resources, strengthen agricultural production, and keep working lands productive for generations to come. For folks like us, this is simple. We're getting NRCS back to its core mission and driving forward through our time here at the agency, making sure that everything we do falls under one lens, what's best for the American producer.
NRCS also updating its strategic priorities, and Buckley explains.
Shifting to outcome-based conservation and farmer empowerment. As an agency of our size in the executive branch, it's our job to serve the taxpayer and the American producer in a voluntary way, a non-regulatory. And so we've got tools like the Conservation Innovation Grants or EQIP, CSP, RCPP, and other programs where producers should be able to get out of a farmer ranch truck, cross into a government-owned release threshold, and ask for help. And they should receive sound and stellar technical service and advice from experts in the field, our local field staff, as well as have the opportunity to apply for cost share or other programmatic assistance to drive their own private investment further on their privately owned property.
Buckley says in all, seven priorities.
Preserve and protect agricultural land is my top priority. As you and your audience likely knows, we lose on average 5,000 acres a day of working farm or ranch land in the continental United States. 2,000 of that 5,000 is prime farmland, 1,020 acres a day in Texas alone. Texas is the hotbed, my home state, the secretary's home state. And so we've got to focus on reducing the loss of productive working lands and safeguard the long-term viability of America's agricultural landscapes that are in privately held lands. There's a lot of opportunities for that. Obviously, we've got the ACEP ALE, Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, Agricultural Land Easement is the program to support producers in keeping their property in a voluntary conservation easement held with a land trust, not held with the government, to support its longevity in being working land. But also coming in and looking at our EQIP practices, to enhance on that, our conservation stewardship program. And even aside from the programmatic assistance we've got, the technical assistance that producers can voluntarily get from our dedicated field staff or partner in the conservation realm, I think is really key.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
So we're going to take a small diversion here into EU rapeseed.
Dr. Mark Jackanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board. On Thursday, with the latest numbers from the World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates.
And rapeseed, as you know, it's a competing oil seed. So the EU is a major producer. So what happens in the global rapeseed market can have important implications for global oil seed supply and ultimately the demand and prices for U.S. soybeans. So it's a market that's worth paying some attention to. This map just gives a broad overview of where within Europe rapeseed production is concentrated, pretty broadly produced across the region, as you can see. And it's been a little bit of a tricky year for rapeseed, for forecasting rapeseed production in Europe this year. We started out spring in April. It was alarmingly dry, very dry across many of most of the key production regions. So that raised some early concerns. By May, we started to see some pretty important improvement in rainfall activity across this region. Still some lingering dryness up here in the northeastern parts of the EU, but importantly, much better conditions in France and into Germany, which are really the two of the leading producers of rapeseed producers in Europe. Also, just worth noting that the last week of May was very hot. That's tends to not be favorable for rapeseed production, but that heat wave was both preceded and followed by rain, which likely mitigated some of those adverse effects. Vegetative health across the region it looked pretty good in May following those timely timely rainfall across the area. And then it slipped a bit in June, given the some of the short-term dryness and heat that was experienced. So again, a tricky year overall, but based on our analysis across the entire region, kind of going country by country, the result for this month was a very modest reduction in our EU, Europe rapeseed production forecast. A small reduction in France, partially, you know, offset by a little bit of an increase in Germany. Worth noting that France and Germany combine to account for about 40% of Europe's rapeseed production. And the conditions were very good down in this area of the country, close to that Black Sea, similarly favorable conditions that, like I just talked about for wheat, throughout that region. So, various offsets, but overall, just a small, reduction in our, rapeseed production forecast for Europe this month.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Thank you for joining us today at this important hearing to discuss U.S. agriculture perspectives on the future of the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, otherwise known as USMCA.
Representative G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, chairman of the House Ag Committee, on a recent hearing on USMCA.
To each of our witnesses, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to share your expertise with us. As we all know, USMCA is a trilateral trade agreement between U.S., Mexico, and Canada that entered into force on July 1st, 2020. USMCA replaced the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, but most importantly, it created a more reciprocal, balanced free trade agreement between our countries. As the agreement is up for review in July, it is more important than ever to talk about what USMCA means for U.S. agriculture. USMCA maintains tariffs-free treatment for certain agricultural products while expanding market access for a range of U.S.-grown commodities. This has proven to be extremely beneficial not only to our U.S. farmers, ranchers, foresters, and agribusinesses, but also to U.S. consumers and the economy as a whole. To get us started, I'd like to share a few statistics that highlight those benefits. Economic models show that in 2024 alone, agricultural and seafood exports to Canada and Mexico generated $149 billion in total economic contributions to the U.S. economy, supporting nearly 500,000 American jobs and generating $36 billion in wages. Since USMCA took effect, Mexico and Canada have collectively purchased more than $60 billion in U.S. ag commodities annually, accounting for roughly one-third of all U.S. ag exports. Mexico and Canada together account for over 40% of all U.S. dairy exports by value, meaning that USMCA remains the most commercially significant trade agreement for the U.S. Dairy industry. For the U.S. forest product sector, Canada accounts for 39% of imports, and Mexico accounts for 24% of the export market. For fruits and vegetables, exports from the U.S. to Canada and Mexico reached over $7 billion in 2024, representing roughly two-thirds of all global U.S. fresh produce exports. Canada and Mexico together accounted for $4 billion in exports and marketing year 2024 for the soybean industry. In 2025, U.S. meat and poultry exports exceeded $23 billion in exports to Canada, and Mexico accounted for $8 billion of that total. For agribusinesses, USMCA's provisions on things like sanitary and phytosanitary measures help ensure that legitimate health and safety rules do not become barriers to trade. A recent study by Purdue University also has found that North American trade agreements, including USMCA, have helped lower food prices for U.S. households, generating an estimated savings of $700 per year. Now, these statistics and many others across the agricultural commodities prove why USMCA is so important to the U.S. ag industry. Now, I must also recognize that there are provisions within USMCA that could and should be improved upon in the upcoming renegotiations. Canada's implementation of its dairy commitments on both the TRQs and export disciplines have not met the mark. U.S. forest product manufacturers continue to struggle under Chapter 10 binational panel review process. Reinforcing and building upon USMCA's labor requirements, biotechnology provisions, food safety standards, and registration approvals will be paramount.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.